So, for a recap, how many of you have been here for both the retreat discussion and the discussion 2 weeks ago? Okay, so certainly there are some who are not, right? So, we have a good, on that block, sorry, this block, we have a good 45 minutes. So maybe a couple of things. There are empty spaces here. It'll be easier for some of you to come up, because I would like to go to the mic, to the mic. That's why I'm holding it this way. And we're recording it as well. So it'd be easier if some of you could come and fill the pews in here. I won't have to go all the way back and same time as well. So to begin with, we've got a couple of slides that I used last time. And I've added, okay. Once the lights off. Is it visible at the back? Better enough? Can you see the back? Okay. So these were the ideas for those of you who are not present, as well as Brother Ray was certainly not there, not for the retreat evening as well. So what happened is that discussion was a spontaneous thing that wasn't really planned. So about 20 of us from Columbus Baptist Chapel were present after the evening message on Sunday, where there was discussion about discipleship in relation to the message of that evening. And just to remind you, all the messages from the retreat, and since then, whatever we've had discussions on discipleship, Jared has already uploaded on the website. So if you go to the website, what you've missed, you can actually get including the messages. Since then, since these discussions, we've also had three sessions of teaching talking about discipleship in the scriptures. Brother Thomas Puchil took one about 2 weeks ago after the discussion on the 15th. Brother Eddie did one during the family Bible hour last Sunday, and Brother Ray did one this morning. So we've had multiple pointers to what is taught in the scriptures. And again, as I think I heard him say at the beginning, we're probably not doing all of it, and that's one of the burdens that we have. How can we get closer to what the Lord expects us to do as disciples or followers of His? So these were some of our objectives, and I'm going to quickly run through them in 5 minutes for the benefit of those who are not there. Exploring our thoughts and understanding interests and availability for discipleship. Praying about this and discerning what the Holy Spirit may teach us. Remember, as I heard Brother Ray start today, when he used that word target, I was also getting a little bit of a, the word target sounds a bit marketing based or something, but basically you're talking about praying as who the Lord will want you to approach or have somebody else approach you. Both ways it works, right? So it's really about not human planning and deciding, as the typical use of the word target would mean, take your guns and shoot at somebody, but that's not at all the intent here, just the opposite. You really want direction from the Lord as to what you should be doing, so yeah, about this man. So that's very important, that's why we put that in all caps there. So even as we do these discussions, we're not trying to arrive at a conclusion necessarily, but it's more that we have this topic on our hearts and pray about it, so the Lord may show us individually what we need to do in our respective areas, as we call them. I think one brother called them the sphere, whether it be your workplace, your neighborhood, friends, even online connections, whatever you have, where, how, and how can you actually decide who you could disciple and how you could help with that. And identifying the needs that we have in this congregation, in this group of believers, and how can we meet them. And what I meant by that was, we discussed that also, we said, suppose there are some who really want to be discipled, but they don't know how to go about it, or they don't know who's available. We need to make that very clear and to the believers here that, yeah, there are some who want to be discipled and there are some who want to be discipling as well. So that is something also we'd like to assess or to find out to the extent possible as the result of these discussions that we've been having. All right, so then we get to, this was one of the questions that was thrown out by the two speakers from MS International, Johnny Loveless and Ben Kearns, right? Ben Kearns. Yes. And this was the question they had. We had some top points that we collected last time. I'm going to go through all of them. It was about modeling discipleship within the local body and then using the relationship building and discipleship to reach out to those outside the body. And one of the things we found out in our discussion of the CBC group, as different from the other assemblies that other discussions, we found that most of our discussion revolved around discipling amongst the believers and not in the Great Commission terms of making disciples. And that's two things. But we believe if one happens within, it could extend to the outside world as well. So that's one of the reasons we said that can extend to those outside the body. informal mentoring system exists for some, and this is a common word that we use in our workplaces, mentoring and mentor and mentee and all of that, but I think that all comes under the scriptural term of discipleship or discipling. But we don't have a formal system. In some places they may have a formal system, but we don't. Organically progressing spiritual relationships should be encouraged. That means, you know, not formal, but there's been a relationship, somebody visiting somebody, spending time, you know, every now and then, and that should be encouraged because that is a way that they can be edified, taught, discipled, whatever word they use there. Then the need to seek out discipleship opportunities and also seek out those who will disciple us as the Holy Spirit leads. Kind of touched on that already. We'll go through this quickly because we've been through it for some. Make our love and relationships more visible to those outside. Starting small regional groups is one of the thoughts, which we've done in the past, but again, that thought came up. Assess the perceived need and examine reasons for its lack of success in the past. We're talking about the small groups we met in three places within Columbus. So we did that for about a year, but it did not seem to have enough traction in terms of attendance or interest after a year, and that did not continue. So these were some of the questions that we raised. How much of this is a priority versus an availability matter? So that's again something that came up again, like we'd love to do certain things, but it looks like we are not available. So if it's a priority, then certain things are like do become possible, right? So the whole question was priority, prioritization as versus availability, how are you going to figure that out for yourself? I cannot say that for anybody, but each one of us should be able to factor that into our daily lives. The next question was, what potential barriers do we need to pray about? And then I just said that availability is a challenge, came up big time at the Sunday retreat discussion. Finding time was also a challenge, and we suggested that you should not be able to find time, you have to make time for that which you prioritize. Setting priorities prayerfully about discipling others, difficulty with transparency is something we talked about, that some have difficulties being very transparent, because it does introduce an element of vulnerability, again, something that nobody really likes. I don't like to be vulnerable. But if you want to be a true loving disciple and a child of God, you have to be willing to open yourself up so that it helps both the disciple and the disciplee. There's a word, discipling? Okay. Even discipling, when I'm trying to put that into word, it refuses, it gives me the red underline. So apparently, discipling is not an English word. So forgive my English right now. Example was given of parenting advice, willingness to share mistakes. So this is the other thing that I think we need to really bring out. That is, and it did come out in our discussions, that discipling is not just teaching the sense of teaching doctrine or something like that. It is exposing the other person to your life and vice versa. As a result of which, even my errors or mistakes that have been made in the past is, hey brother, I don't want you to this to happen to you. This is what happened to me. And this is how we can avoid it, going back to scripture. As I missed part of Ray's talk, teaching this morning, but basically pointing them back to scripture and not just my ideas or my great wisdom. It's not the point there, right? So those examples are good. We talked about vulnerability. Prayer needed to build relationships. We mentioned that. The limitations on Sunday or Wednesday meetings of an assembly, as you can see here, we are seated in a very formal setting. Even if I gave the mic to many, the voice doesn't come out somehow, right? I have it, so I'm talking, but if I very rigid, so we don't, but at the retreat, all of us in the group pretty much talked, right? So that was kind of interesting to see. A formal structure kind of inhibits many people from speaking out, or what their thoughts are. So that's barriers that we talked about, quite a number. And these are points from discussion on the 15th. I didn't go, I couldn't somehow get it point by point, so it's one crowded lot there, but we still have a good time, so I'll go through that quickly. The names are also, this is thanks to Brother Eddie, who was jotting down the main points during the discussion, and I hope Eddie can help us with some today as well. He's got his laptop open, which means it's on already. Okay. And there's been no discussion so far, of course. But we'll get to that. Brother Bob kind of said we need to spend time with God ourselves, and the disciples need to be willing and open to being discipled. So that was one thing clearly mentioned. Brother Tom Fishback mentioned what is the goal of discipleship, and the disciple has to be able to teach, need to be able to teach, needs investment and commitment. Brother Tim said, actually that was a quotation from the retreat, where I think Johnny Lavis or Ben Burns taught us that simple acronym, FAT, not meaning fat, but meaning, where's the details? Can you have that? Yeah, faithful, available, and T for teachable. Those three would make you eligible or an active thought assumption. So the true teacher is the Holy Spirit. Again, really good to remind ourselves of that. Chip Ingram had, I think Tim referred to some talk of Chip Ingram, Romans, love without hypocrisy, what that meant. Being transparent is important. Primary reliance on the Word of God and prayer. Many of these things are kind of repeated. So then there was a point about, we're not necessarily talking about doctrinal teaching, but it's more about examples or illustrations of how God is working in your life and has worked in your life in the past. I had given a recent example of a colleague, my junior colleague who came to me and kind of asked for help in an area that he actually embarrassed me in a sense by saying, can I talk to you as a son to a father? And that's how the relationship started. And we still have that ongoing. Brother Bob asked for a definition of discipleship, and I think we got more than one definition. Last Sunday we had one, and I think Brother Thomas also gave us a definition of discipleship. So we've seen that. Brother Paul Carmina was here and said, assemblies have young and old speakers and therefore can learn from them. And the older men and women teaching the younger ones is seen in scripture. Brother Tim said, Acts lifestyle in general, the way they conducted their life is challenging. Then there was not a point about we are not where we should be. Is that something that you think? Or do you think we're all involved in some stages of discipleship? Maybe true for some, may not be true for everybody. Sister Bindu had a point, walking with the wise and iron sharpens iron, a short course of discipleship. And one of the points we mentioned is discipleship is not necessarily trying to identify somebody you like or somebody you think you have a lot in common with. It may be somebody who really is able to help you as iron sharpens iron. Somebody who's able to challenge you. Somebody who's able to, be your accountability partner in some senses. So that was the point there. Brother Tom Fishback again talked of maturity being important, requisite for discipleship. And then Brother Tim concluded by saying, praying specifically for the Lord to alert our minds to identify those that need to be discipled and making this a priority in our prayer. So I think a lot of them have been repetitive, but I think we'll stop with going through the slides. That was a slide that was the third question thrown out by the speakers, which we really have not addressed. That's more individual and personal, so we really did not address that. So, having said all of that, I think I've summed it up in about 7-8 minutes of what we've done so far. What we like to do today is something we haven't done again, so bear with me if it doesn't go exactly as, I don't know how it's going to go, so I don't have any plan in mind. So all I'm saying is, please feel free, both brothers and sisters, so we're sitting in the pews, this is an informal discussion time, not one of our formal meetings, so you feel free to bring any thoughts you have in what you've collected from the teaching so far, as well as what, as brought up already as thoughts. So I'm going to stop now, my monologue is over. And I'm the carrier for the mic to those who would like to say something about what you heard these last 2-3 weeks in teaching the Word of God, as well as any practical thoughts or ideas. Again, I really think it should not be, we should be doing this, what can we do? What is it that we want to do? And not about any theoretical models that we can have. It should really be heart-searching, is this something that I can do? Is this something I want? If we can frame our discussion based on that, it'll be more profitable than listing a whole number of things that we could be doing. So with that, the floor is open. How do we start? I'm not sure that this is one. Who will you reach out to for discipleship, both to disciple you and someone to disciple is something that I think each one is to go before the Lord to ask that question. And I don't think it's something we need to discuss here. But I just kept that up there for you to be thinking about. So shall I go section by section, or how do I get this a little mobility here?
We'll start?
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to give you the mic because we want to record what's being said.
I guess really just to share my own personal experience, discipleship is not something that I really experienced before coming here to Columbus. It was something that was always in the back of my mind, but not really a priority for me. For most of my life, until I was approached by Brother Tom Fishbach here, and he also had a burden to come alongside me, to disciple me, and for the past several months now, we've been meeting very regularly, he with me, and Sister Shirley here with my wife, and I can certainly attest to the the amount of growth that I've experienced, and I'm very grateful for their commitment to me. So I know it's not every discipleship program between individuals has to look exactly like ours, but I can tell you certainly what has worked for me personally has been this level of commitment that both Brother Tom has and I have towards each other, and the amount of time that we spend to it. We're meeting for about 2 hours every Thursday night, which with my schedule of work, sometimes taking me through weekends, my night courses I'm taking with my apprenticeship program, all that has been a priority for me to get through, and certainly it's important, but there's a level of prioritization that has to happen solely for the purpose of growth in the Lord and His Word. So, I know in today's culture, it's extremely hard to break away from work, and some of us have jobs where it's a lot harder for them to break away from. I'm just an electrician, so if I leave, people still survive somehow. Some of you who are doctors can't do that so easily if you're in the middle of a surgery. But I can certainly say that if there's a willingness to take that time out and to actually prioritize for somebody else, as daunting as it might seem, God does have a way of working it out. He did for me. He's done that, I know, for both me and my wife here with our schedules, and it has certainly been instrumental in my continued growth in the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Anthony. I think we heard certain words in what you said, and I think one clear thing is, and most of us who know Anthony know that he does work pretty long hours sometimes, and weekends as well, as some do, and yet there was a need to fix something on a Thursday evening, right, as I understand. So that is again a question of making time, not finding time. You will not find time normally on Thursday evening, but you've made time to meet. So that's been really good. Okay, that's a great testimony and a practical point that we can learn. Tim, yes, over to you.
So as Ray was talking in the earlier meeting, talking about ways that young men have been incorporated into the teaching aspect and learning aspect, one of the things, and I think I've shared with probably some of you here, but maybe not everyone, was that during my formative years coming out of college in West Virginia, the assembly that we met at there, one thing that they did was on Sunday nights we would have our Bible studies, and they'd set up a long table up front, and there'd be two men that would go through rotation every week. It'd be two different men, usually the older men, the elders, other men that spoke, but probably at least twice a month, one of the young guys, like myself or my friends or peers, would be injected into one of those seats. And I just kind of want to say that at that time in my life, there's no one that gets put into that position and says, this is what I want to do, or, oh yeah, this definitely describes someone who I see myself as. It's a very fearful thing to be thrust into that role of rightly dividing the Word of God and taking on that tremendous responsibility. But it was helpful because, an older brother, sometimes 50 and 60 years older than me, sitting at my left or right-hand side, would be able to guide the discussion and everything, and then be able to turn it over to me a little bit. And, I would, get two or three random thoughts about a verse or something, and then he'd be able to take it right back and keep the discussion moving from a study standpoint. But I remember how helpful that was. But I also think back to, Peter, there on the water when he sees the Lord, and in my own mind, I see that first step of thinking, there's so much fear, so much could go wrong, and I remember vividly in my mind, as I would prepare that week going into the Bible study, there were two older ladies that were sisters in that meeting, and I knew they knew more about the Bible than I did, like so much more. They were scholars of the Word of God, They knew it inside and out, frontwards and backwards. They had major portions memorized. They knew the doctrinal undertones of Scripture. They knew it layers and layers and layers deep. And I said, why should I be up here doing this when there's these two ladies in the meeting who could, you know, teach me so much more? And yet the Lord had it laid out that way. And I just remember being so fearful and so scared. And I tripped over words and I said them backwards. And I even remember one time I referred to Randy Amos, who's a, you know, well-known Bible speaker. I called him Andy Ramos, and I didn't even know it, you know. And so I tripped over my words all the time, and I still do. But I just remember that impetus to disregard the fear and just say, the Lord wants me to do this. And I take that because one of the elders asked me to do it. So clearly the Lord wants me to do it. And just that slow process of becoming accustomed to it. So when we think about discipleship, it's like, oh, I don't want to get up early. I don't want to stay up late. I don't want to drive 45 minutes, you know, to go meet with this person today. I'm so tired. The work week's been so long. Or I need to be doing this or I need to be doing that. Sometimes you just have to take that first step. Go out there, do it, and just say, I don't get it, but I need to be obedient and put one foot in front of another. And the Lord's bless that.
Thank you, Tim. Any reactions to what Tim or well, Anthony has said is welcome as well. While you formulate your thoughts, I wanted to say one thing that was in common with what Tim and Anthony said or shared was they weren't sharing it with necessarily those of the same age group or looking up. It was people much older. So there is absolutely no need, you know, gender gap issues, because both of them are gaining from somebody who's older. So for those who feel that it's not right, I think a lot of people have gained by sharing and understanding the life experiences and wisdom that God has given those who have been in the walk for longer than them. So that is something to note about as well. Any points on this section? Yes, Brother Thomas.
I just have to say this for the glory of God. I've been debating in my own mind if I should share this with the saints here or not. But I trust that the Spirit of God is leading me in this direction. One of the things I'm so glad, so excited, so blessed to have moved to this great country that I call home now, the United States of America, is not that God has blessed me financially and materially, although that is true, especially considering where I come from, but the greatest blessing that I consider in my own personal life and in the life of our family is a spiritual blessing, is growing in the knowledge of the one true living God. And I truly attest that to the one particular assembly that I truly believe that the Lord takes us and moves us places and keeps us in different assemblies over the years. And I remember way back when I was a 24-year-old young man, and the Lord took me to the assembly in Orlando, Florida. I was truly born again, I believe that. But my only desire at that point in time was to show up on a Sunday morning and to be left alone the rest of the week, only to show up the following week. And that was my responsibility towards the local assembly. And I look back over the years, there were two elders in particular that were really burdened, and that as I look back, there's one particular family here that knows them. But as I look back, I see how they have encouraged me over the years. And they still do. In terms of encouraging me, as I shared with Brother Ray this morning, how encouraged I was to hear from him about the local assembly involving the young people. I firmly believe that as assemblies, we are to guard the pulpit. That is my firm belief as well. But sometimes I feel like we go to the extent of guarding the pulpit to the extent that we lose some of our young people in our local assemblies, and that seems to be the trend in many of our assemblies these days. And I believe that it is because of our lack of vision and our encouragement to the young people. And I really appreciate Brother Ray bringing up this point this morning, that as an assembly, we need to have a focus for our young people. They may not have attended great Bible schools. That's not how we study God's Word. That's not how we grow in the Word of God. We grow in the Word of God by spending time in the Word and in prayer and in encouragement of one another and in the fellowship of God's people. And I say this for the glory of God, because as I look back in my early years of growing up in this assembly, Lake Avo Bible Chapel, I was there for 17 years. The most part of my life, I was just a Sunday morning attender. But the elders, and these two men in particular, were praying and encouraging me over the years. And I praise God for that. There's one brother in particular. The way that the chapel functioned was they had Sunday evening meetings, which was probably the least attended. There was Wednesday evening meetings. And then, of course, there's a family Bible hour for teaching. The way they would do it was they would give some of our young people Sunday evening opportunities. And if they would pray along with you, they would encourage you. And obviously, as you start young, as our brother reminded us, several of our brothers reminded us, you know, there's an aspect of growing and teaching and preaching and so on and so forth. And so that is how they progress. They would start on a Sunday evening, then they would take them to Wednesday, then they would take them to Sunday morning. So there is a progression there. There is prayer, there is encouragement, there is all that. And I trust that that would be seen in our assembly here as well. That there will be more involvement, not just at every level in terms of encouraging our young people, giving them opportunities to teach and preach. And out the gate, none of us here, you know, most of us here have not had much Bible school training. But it is not so much of the Bible school training, but it is the time that we spend individually and collectively in the Word of God as well. So I trust that what has been shared this morning would be a blessing to all the saints here. Thank you.
Thanks, Brother Thomas, for the testimony. And I think it's great that we learn from our experiences in other places. And I think to attest to what Brother Thomas said, it is really true that in Columbus Bible Chapel, we've had very few Bible school trained teachers. Probably the only one who comes to us occasionally is Brother Ray. But God has still provided ample gifts to be able to minister the Word of God over the many years that we've had. So let's continue to pray about these things. And again, I want to bring the focus back to not just our past experiences, but what about what we want to do here? What do we want to do here as a chapel, as a body of believers, so that we don't just think of the past? How can I translate that, or how can I bring that into practical application here? Otherwise, our discussion is sometimes not very beneficial. Do you have one? Okay. I wanted to also put some of our young people on the spot, because I want to hear what they think and how they think discipling functions, whether on campus or off campus. And we'll get right to this section right here.
So I'll talk a little bit about my experiences with Campus Crusade or Crew on Campus, because I think it reflects several of the main points that were brought up here, primarily having to do with the formality and then also with giving young people the chance to lead. So I think Crew, at least at Ohio State, has a very formalized system, in not outwardly, but in inwardly, how we do this. And I think it's provided a lot of benefit. And so for us, every few years, you have a lot of turnover. You bring in new people. And so during this first semester, Aaron can attest to this, we take an effort to bring people in into the study of the Bible. And then during that time, we kind of watch and observe who's actually interested, who's turning up, who's offering comments. And then we actually have a formal system whereby during that second semester, each of the leaders in a Bible study would ask somebody, hey, do you want to start meeting up regularly, maybe weekly, to go over something? And then after that, you have, a formal period of asking where you ask somebody, hey, are you interested in then leading in the next year? So you actually, with, you know, a year after you're starting the study, you have a chance of leading studies. And you don't leave them alone with that. So you always have kind of a younger student with a more experienced leader taking these studies. And they're all kind of set up for you already, so you don't stray too far from what you should doctrinally. And the good part about this is that as you have that discipling relationship formed during the second semester, then after that, you always have somebody older than you as well. So for example, just for me, I currently don't have anybody immediately under me, but there was someone who was in my study 2 years ago who I ran into a few weeks ago, and he had been going through various things, asked me to meet up. And so after I did that for a couple weeks, he had some questions for me that I didn't feel I could answer. And so during my time where I'm supposed to be meeting up with a staff person, as all the leaders do kind of every couple of weeks for discipling, so tomorrow I've asked the person that I'm supposed to be meeting up with, instead of talking about me, can I bring him along? And then we'll ask these questions together. And so I think that's the good part about kind of having somebody that you're discipling and discipler, so you can kind of bring things up as you need to, and you can kind of grow in both ways.
Thanks, Joe. And you can see Campus Crusader Pro, as it's called now, has very organized structures around the world. And unfortunately, in the chapel, we don't have that kind of structure, but what is it that we can do to get closer to something that's desirable by home? So that's another point. I have a question for Joel though, and I wanted to ask, besides the discipling for leading studies and helping people on this, what aspect of their practical life as a freshman or as a sophomore, whatever, how is that being impacted?
Yeah, so the discipling time when you're meeting with somebody on usually a bi-weekly basis, that's not really about preparing a study for the next week or things like that. It is talking about your life. And so this can be in several different ways. There is, of course, you know, you'll try to catch up with them and talk about specific things, whatever they're going through. There'll be, you know, common trends, especially with younger students. But then there are also structured studies that Crew has to go through in a one-on-one setting. So it's kind of both. So you can have certain weeks where you'll be going through a passage or a study that they've set up for you. Or if there's something pertinent, a question, you would talk about that instead. Then you also have the social aspect. You try to get food with them. So you kind of try to have all three of those.
Thank you. That answers the question on practical aspects of it. Now, before I forget, I wanted to mention one thing that we did mention last week, and I sent out that email, that the MAS International has that FUEL program that started last Tuesday, and that's something that will run for 9 months. It's amazing that these guys can get up at 5:30 in the morning there. You don't have to do that. And what three of us that I know have registered from this chapel, maybe there are more, hopefully there are. What I realized is I woke up, it's not the best time for me to wake up, but I did wake up and I didn't find an online session. So I realized the night before, the videos they send out are really your participation. So I was able to listen to the videos the previous night, was looking for more next morning, but of course I didn't find anything. So that's anybody else who's actually attended that or listened to the videos? Anybody? Few? Okay, good. Okay. So that's good. I think that's great material that's prepared. Something like you said, Crew as a campus ministry, but here's Assembly Guided Ministry of MAS actually prepared stuff to teach discipling for a long period. So, you know, I'd encourage anybody to go and get involved in that, because that's an easy way of spending a couple of hours listening to videos at your convenience, now that you don't have to be online at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that may be a good thing to do. I'm coming forward to this section because we only have 10 minutes, and thanks for those who have shared so far. But anybody here who would like to say something, or your experiences in discipling, or why you discipled? Anybody, any thoughts? I'm looking at some who have been very vocal when we are meeting in informal groups, and that's why I don't want to put anybody in the spot. Feel free to kind of come up with whatever your reactions are to what you may have heard. I see Brother Rudy nodding, I'm not sure if it's a yes or no, but I'm getting right.
It's not really what I was trying to say. I don't know if it's really adding much to what we can do going forward. I just know what informal, though brief periods of discipling that I've had in the past, I've just appreciated older saints who come alongside me and who've been, I guess, very, very genuine. I think it's been brought out with a tendency, kind of it's just a simple tendency in general, where we want to kind of have a facade that we have it all together spiritually, or just in general. And it's hard to develop a relationship of trust. Develop a relationship of trust when there's not a certain level of vulnerability and just a willingness to say, hey, I've been there, I've struggled with that, and let's go to the scriptures and seek the Lord on that together. So I guess I've just appreciated older saints who've been genuine with me, hopefully doing that with my own children. I just think it's knowing the scripture or studying the scripture is one thing, but just seeing it practically lived out in the life of the one believer is encouraging. Hey, there's hope for me, and the Lord can give me victory in this as well.
Thank you, Brother Nathan. I think this was something that came out on our retreat discussion as well. Our children at home are our first source of discipleship. They're there to be discipled as well. How many of us know the meaning of the word disciple? I'm not sure we really talk about that. The word discipline, for example, always carries a bad connotation, right? I'm going to be disciplining someone. That's the same word. And the really meaning of the word is to teach. If you're disciplining somebody, you're teaching somebody. That, remember that meaning of the word is really to teach. Anybody else inside? Okay. Then I think I'm going to kind of round off by bringing it forward. Brother Rick, any thoughts? Do you have any?
Nothing that will edify
anyone. All right. Okay. I won't trouble anybody directly, but I just wanted to kind of conclude by saying these are thoughts. I mean, we felt both Brother Thomas Mucci was not here today. I have talked about it, and we shared with Amy and Tim, etc., and Bob, that you know, it's very good to give time for us to be able to think and talk about these things. So this is an opportunity. Doesn't mean that we have to. There's no compulsion. But feel free to approach one of us if you really think you want discipling, or you want to disciple, or any practical thoughts on that line in terms of your availability and commitment. That's the big two things that we lack in the Bible chapter. Honestly, I've been here for 15 years, so I was happy to be here. Availability is a big issue because we don't have anybody who has spare time. I wouldn't say anybody, but most of us who are working full-time are really strapped with work, right? And therefore, it's so difficult to organize an extra meeting, it becomes a huge burden. And people have said, if you ask for one more Saturday meeting, we'll crash. We'll burn out. You know, and that's the situation here, I'm being honest with you. How do we circumvent that? How do we kind of, get around that and still make things happen? Right? So I just wanted to raise that. There's one more question up on the screen. We'll change that as Brother Ray may want to give a few concluding thoughts. Actually 6 minutes.
Okay. See, to me, the discipleship that we talked about in the first meeting, it makes all the difference in the world. And so, actually, I told my wife that if I'm not meeting with men, I feel very lonely, I'm not only kind of blessed them, but I end up getting blessed myself by doing it. So I told you on the first meeting that the guys that have to work, they have to start work at 6:30 or 7. We would meet at 5:45 or 6 in the morning. They're willing to do that. We eat breakfast together. Then when we're done, they go right to work. They already ate breakfast and they took care of it. But we made the time. So here's what you need to do. You need to actually come up to the elders and say, I want someone to disciple me with you. Who do you think would be a good fit? Or you can come up to them and say, I want to disciple somebody. Who should I meet with? If you don't have the person in mind yourself, that's what you should do, really, really. And it'll bless you. The other day, an older lady, she's probably 73, she came up to me and said, I want to disciple, I want to bless him, but who can I meet with? I said, oh, my wife, people think just because we're in the service that we don't need to meet with someone. And she would love for you to meet with her. You're an older woman, her mom passed away, she wants an older influence, someone to, talk to. Why don't you meet with my wife? I never thought of it. Yeah, but see, when she said, who should I disciple? We already have people in mind, right? And so, you need to be looking at, who can I talk with? Maybe a group of you, two or three of you, go hang out, some guy, when I was younger, we would use sports as the excuse. Let's go play some ball. We go play some ball and talk and hang out. And that was part of the thing. But any excuse to go hang out with someone so that we can talk about where you're at in your Christian walk. Help me out too, let's pray for one another, and let's be a blessing. So we need to do this. Otherwise, again, I said, we're gonna turn stagnant. We just show up on Sundays and leave. And we're not connecting, right? So connecting is super important, amen? You agree with that one? Okay. So if you're not meeting with someone, you need to start praying, Lord, who can I meet with? Because whether you admit it or not, you're lonely sometimes. And you want someone to talk to. Right? So pray about it, women and men, right? Or maybe even couples can hang out once a week or every other week for dinner. Right? So you don't have time to cook. Go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, get a bag of fish, show up with a, so you don't have to cook. Just put the food out, you're already ready to roll. Right? We do that too. Whatever it takes, but it's so important that we get together and disciple one another. Right? And so I want to be blessed by my brothers and sisters in Christ to bless me, and we want to bless others. So we had a couple that saw us when we were in Houston, and we were working and going full speed, and they called us one day. They said, we want you to come for Thanksgiving and spend 3 days with us. We're like, wow, nobody's ever done that before for us. We're like, sure, why not? We went over there and would never forget what they did for us. That we're so grateful that you're serving the Lord, and we want to just relax. We're gonna bring home some food, and let's just enjoy, and we're gonna take you out to this place. And they did that. And for 3 days, they had a hot tub. We jumped in a hot tub, and we just talked. We came back, and we never forgot that day. Even to this day, we'll talk about it. What they did for us. They were actually discipling us and blessing us, you see? So take the time to do so, right? To do something of that nature. Okay?
Thank you, Brother Ray. Yes, I think Natalie has something to add. Thank you.
There have been so many good ideas thrown out about what we can do, and I think that it would be really important for us to remember that there are so many right ways to do this. You're not going to get an exact right way to get this done, and you're not going to have, this is how you disciple by doing X, Y, and Z, but there's a wrong way to do this, and that's by not doing it.
Amen.
I think that's really important to remember.
Amen.
Thank you, Sunani. That's a good conclusion to say that we should be doing something about it, and I agree completely that there's no one way. That's why we need to pray and the Lord direct us in these activities. And again, a reason why we're not trying to arrive at some conclusion as a group and say this is what we're going to do. And really the Lord should be working in our hearts for that to happen. And if you can convey that to the elders, the deacons, that we can try and create some structure where required, if that's required. And that is again something that I have not heard so far. In three of our discussions, I've not heard the expression, we'd like something to be done. And if that is not there, we are not prepared to do anything about it structurally. But if the support is required, if there's any kind of structure required to be set up, certainly we would be happy to help and create that structure. So please continue to communicate on this matter. I have one final question, and that is, I know that everybody that cannot participate or does not feel like participating, but do you think if you broke up into smaller groups, you would have had a better discussion? Can I have a show of hands? All those who feel that we have a smaller group, this will be your participation point for today. Right? All of you who feel that if we broke up into smaller groups, it would be a better discussion, can I have a show of hands? All right, so that is the minority. So we stay together as a body, which is great.
Okay.
All right, so if there's nothing more and we want to end on time, I'm going to request Brother Tom Fishback to kind of close in prayer.
Father in heaven, we want to say to you, we just thank you that you, the one that brought us out of death and into life. We have so many people in our fellowship that seem like us to grow in you. We just pray for wisdom and identifying those people in the lives of each other. And Lord, when we see one that needs to grow, we pray that you would help us to each one to come alongside of that person and truly be an example in their own life, that we can't really be able to teach others if our life does not reflect that. And so, Lord, we just pray for wisdom to be able to implement that in each life. Thank you for all the people in our fellowship that really, truly care for each other.
Amen.
And the love that they have. I've never experienced the love in my life than any son as I have in this fellowship. We thank you for those people that are reaching out to others and have that heart and desire to want to do that. And may you give them wisdom, Lord, to use their lives to your honor and your glory. As we go forward, may each one of us, Lord, have that commitment to you, to love you in a greater way, and to live out our life and glorify you in what we are doing and saying. In the precious name of Christ. Amen. Amen.